like to invite you to turn to three portions of Scripture. We will begin with a portion in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 down to verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 9. Use diligence to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present age, and is gone to Thessalonica. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus to you shortly, that I also may be refreshed, knowing how ye get on. For I have no one like-minded who will care with genuine feeling how ye get on. For all seek their own things, not the things of Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a child, a father, he has served with me in the work of the glad tidings. Him therefore I hope to send immediately, as soon as I shall see how it goes with me. Finally, go back to the epistle from which we have been reading, First Epistle of John chapter 2. We'll pick up verse 19, or rather, let's verse 15. First Epistle of John chapter 2, reading from verse 15. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing, and is lost. But he that does the will of God abides for eternity. I'd like to present us this evening with contrasting examples of two men in the life of the Apostle Paul. I believe that they provide us with good examples as to what our priorities should be as we go through this scene. The first one we read of is Demas. I'm told that his name probably means following. The first time that we encounter Demas, I think, is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, and there he is named as one who served with the Apostle Paul. We can take from that at that point he was a fellow laborer, he was following the Lord. He was perhaps being true to his name that time in respect of following the Lord. But then we're told in the portion that we read from 2 Timothy chapter 4 that the Apostle Paul said that he had forsaken him. He had forsaken Paul to follow something else. He was still following, he was still pursuing, but this time he was not pursuing the things of the Lord. Rather, he was pursuing the things of the world, one might say his own things. When you think of him forsaking Paul, physically forsook him. Because Paul was there, Rome, and at that time, he had forsaken him. Indeed, all in Asia had turned away from him. The Apostle Paul very much needed the fellowship and the comfort of his companions in the gospel, in the good tidings. He was nowhere to be found. He had gone off on another expedition. He had gone off to seek his own things. I would suggest to you that he had not only forsaken Paul physically, he really had forsaken him spiritually. Same way, those in Asia had turned against him, and that turned against Paul's line of things. The apostle, who gives us so much of the truth, abandoned by many, found him too straight, on his line to restricting perhaps, turned away from him.
And Demas, with the apostle, came with him, no doubt, through difficult times, heard Paul's gospel, heard his explanation of the mysteries of Christ, heard the apostle stand on the question, where the apostle stood on the question of separation from evil, knew where the apostle stood on the question of the assembly, knew where the apostle stood on the question of the world, knew that the apostle was one who had great talents, great potential as far as this world was concerned. He was a man of great learning, a man who was on his way to enjoying of privilege. Indeed, he had started to enjoy it. Up at the feet of one of the leading scholars of the time, a man of great influence, he was won by his spirit. The apostle forsook all of that. He said, all of this that was once gained to me, I now count it as gone. Seeing Paul, the position that he took, where he gave up all, in how he lived a life of humility, let's look at the present evil world, the age, the cosmos. He looked at the world around him and he saw four welcoming lights of the world, a man who said, I could make something of myself, acquire things. When I step off this scene, I will have made my mark upon this world. I will leave something behind. Men will perhaps still speak of me, even when I'm gone. Love the present age. So, he took away from Paul, he forsook Paul's line to pursue according to the world. And the Epistle of John told what is the state of the world. We're told that all that is in the world, of the flesh, of the eye, and of life. Only that, we're told that this world, that everything that is in it is transitory, is passing. And think of those things that sums up what is in the world. Think of the eye, we might consider the things of life. No doubt was pursuing the material things of life. Wanted house, wanted land, wanted to acquire. In a world increasingly materialistic, find that man has tested his capacity to want more. There is still this desire to acquire. Every day, with what we call the spirit of capitalism, drives human society. There is this desire that we must build and build and acquire and acquire. The eye sees, the eye's desire. Just the physical eyes, but it is what we also conjure up in our minds. It's driven towards all kinds of inventions. Because there is in the world the lust of the eye. Only the lust of the eye. All that there is the lust of the flesh. That we have for pleasure. Think of the lust of the eye as the desire for possession. Think of the lust of the flesh as the constant pursuit of pleasure. And see that as our world continues to degenerate, it is because of the pursuit of pleasure. An itch that we have, that man has, he wants to scratch it. that tickles the fancy is being pursued. We are constantly faced with that temptation to end every desire, by every feeling. The world that Demas was pursuing, was going after, a world where he satisfied his sensuality, scratch every itch of the flesh, the pride of life. I would call it for pleasure, if you may. Think that there is in us the children of Adam, all desire, center of things, desire to be erected, to be erected. The pride of life, the desire of place and a position in society. And must perhaps looked at Paul, he might have said to himself, but here a man who started out as a brilliant academic, here a man who was the religious leaders of his time saw him as an up-and-coming leader. And now at the end of his life, he seems to be languishing in a Roman jail. What kind of life is this? And Demas said, I will not follow that path. Offered him a place, for the world had perhaps given him respect, for dreadful compromises he would have had to make to earn a place in human society. And think of our own circumstances as we reflect upon the experience of Demas. Desire to possessions. Some of the things that we crave are normal and natural. Sure, we need to have proper homes. Sure, have the material possessions that makes life a little more comfortable. Not be the pursuit of the Christian. The believer ought not to go pursuing these things. Indeed, the scripture tells us our heavenly Father knows that we need these things. And as the Lord, in faithfulness, he will give us the things that we need. He will give us the material things of life that are necessary to our existence here. Make it our lives' ambitions to pursue material things. And it appeals to our flesh. All kinds of entertainment, all pleasures. Watchful, we will find that we fall from that which satisfies the flesh. As we mess in life, so to speak, we go to school and we get an education. Career, and we're starting to move up, and we start to feel a little proud of ourselves and of our achievements, and that's why our bosses start to give some attention. We're asked to make all kinds of compromises. You're a big man in this firm, you will need to do certain things. Certain places. You will have to socialize with a certain group. And just before I came over here, we had a visit with a young man who had been to the meeting, and then we had not seen him for a while, and we have sought to encourage him. And then we managed an appointment with him, and we sat down to speak with him. I got it 2 years ago. And I have something like 4 or 5 promotions in 2 years. What is happening to me is that those managers invite me out and they say, you know, we're going sailing this weekend. Can you come along? Friday evening and Saturday they're sailing, and Lord's Day they're sailing too. He's on the yacht and he says, you know, I think of it and I say to myself, but I shouldn't be here. I ask him, because they all have responsibilities. The next time they ask him, they say, well, you know, we depend on you to do this. And he said to myself, but how can I let them know? And then we said to him, why is it important to you to not end up? That you find yourself in this kind of company and you find it very satisfying to your ego. They have given you a place. They have said, well, we rely on you. They appeal to you. And fallen into the trap of life. So all of us, and to myself, we ought to be, it might make us more watchful and how we engage the world around. An example is a man called Timothy, and I'm told one of the meanings of his name is honoring God. He provides us with the contrast to Demas. Paul could say to Timothy, come to me quickly. He speaks of him in Philippians where we read. Paul speaks of him. He's a man like-minded, like Timothy. Like. Compare him, say of Timothy, I'm no man like-minded, because himself knew what it was, although he would say feebly, to follow the example and to seek the same mind as his Lord. In Acts that we read, it opens up by talking about, let this mind be you which was in Christ Jesus. Holy mind. It was a mind that did not seek and grasp after things, not sought, not a place. It's a mind that emptied itself, himself, so that he might achieve, that he might accomplish the Father's will. He emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. And flowed from his Lord. And now we must be following in that line. And the apostle could say, I have no man like-minded like Timothy. He was careless. Timothy had a mind for the people of God, for the care of the people of God. But he had concerning Timothy, that when everybody else is seeking their own, every man the things of their own, not the things of Christ. Timothy's was a mind that was given to the things of Christ. The thing he had seen good example in Paul, but more so, ultimately, the examples that he drew from the Lord Jesus Christ. But he cared for the saints. He sought the pleasures of God. When we first, in verse 12, he is described as a disciple. A learner and a He was worrying about the Lord. He was following the Lord. And that's something for us to emulate. Let me be called disciples. Here was a young man, and Paul visited, and he said he found a certain disciple. That not only was he meant to be a disciple, but he had a good testimony, a good report amongst the saints. And I ask you, do you have a good report amongst the saints in your assembly? I ask you, do you have a good report amongst the saints in your local assembly and in your area and in your region? For it's a wonderful thing for the saints to be able to speak well in relation to you in the testimony. And that was Timothy, a disciple, a man with a testimony. In Romans 16 and verse 21, the apostle describes him as a fellow worker. A man who was ready to pitch in, to help me stand side by side with the apostle Paul. When all in Asia turned against him, he was willing to pitch in. Took him, he was ready to pitch in. A fellow laborer. That he was a minister. You know, in the first epistle, in chapter 4 and verse 16, we have him, the thought of him, as a minister. One who was a steward of the things of God. You know what drives good ministers is the question of faithfulness. It is required in a servant, a steward, that he be found faithful. Timothy was a faithful brother. Pastor, natural will care for your state. That's the one who cares for, who have a desire to know how they're doing. That's what Paul, where Paul could send him to. To say to the Philippians, I'm going to send him to you so that I might know how you're doing. Timothy was the one who would seek out and visit the saints and know their affairs and reach out to them. He had a heart for the people of God. And he didn't do this because he was a man seeking position. Because you know something about him, when you read the first and the second epistle, you will find that he was very honest. Indeed, he was very hesitant to take a leading place. Paul had to encourage him and to stir him up and to push him a little forward. And then some of us, well, we want leading places. We want to be seen. Timothy, he cared for them, genuinely cared for them. He was self-effacing. That's wonderful. He was also a teacher. Paul could say to him, the things you have learned from me, you have to commit to faithful men. He was a faithful man. And he was in turn to be able to identify faithful men to whom he could pass on these things. A teacher of the word. A child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make me wise. He was one who spent time in the word. He learned so that he might be able to help to instruct the saints. And yet, he was one to lord it over the saints. 2 Timothy chapter, in verse 11, we're told, we're said of him, of God. He was from a select company of men who are referred to in the scriptures as a man of God. And as a man who stands for God in a day of ruin, as a man who right lines in a day of declension, as a to go against the tide, the common tide, and this was Timothy, a man of God. And that's why in our generation, we're to seek to be men and women of God, stand for God against the tide, stand for God in a day of ruin, look out for the things of Christ. In the world, it is a ruinous place. Forget, seek to satisfy the pleasures of the flesh. It can only bring you grief. Forget to go after the material possessions of life. It will tire you up. It will leave you broke and disillusioned and disheartened. Be a man of God. Stand for God. Stand with what is right. Stand with what is true. And while the demons are going on and seeking what is temporary, you will secure what is eternal. For the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if you want to make your mark, don't make your mark at all. It is like sun in walking on the seashore, and you put on your footsteps, or you build a sun castle. And then a few hours is a bear. If you build in the, if you leave your mark in this world, it will disappear in a fleeting moment. But if you seek to make mark in relation to the things of God, it will last for eternity. And that's what Timothy realized. What a choice he made, the better choice. Demas and me. But I have no man like Timothy. He will care for you. And while every the things of his own things, he sees the things of Christ. May God help us, all of us. would seek to follow the example of our Christ, who was empowered of everything to accomplish the will of God. The example of the apostle took example from him who gave up everything for the service of God. And this young man, Timothy, who when everybody else, in their own things, he thought the things of God.